For God, we just pray that as we look back into your word this evening, that you would guide us, that you would just show us what you would have us learn. And as we have a conversation together in a short while, we pray that you would guide that conversation, that it would be in love and most of all focused on you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There you go. It works this evening. So, come on. Okay. That's it. See you later. Good. Okay. So, for those of you who are out this morning, and for those who were not, I'll still do a recap. So, this morning we looked at going in the right direction. And I know I've got my... Let me go backwards a little bit for a second. So, I'll go back a fair bit. I should have put my passage up on the screen, but I didn't. There it is. So this morning we started off by looking at Philippians 3:12-16, and we looked at direction as a theme. So we were looking at, I'll read it for you guys. Yes. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press onward, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before. I press onward toward the goal unto the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye are otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you, only whereunto we have attained. By that same rule let us walk. And really, we looked at a few things this morning. We looked at leaving the things that were behind, so forgetting the things that were behind us, and stretching forward to the things which are before, and pressing onward toward the goal, onto the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. And so this evening I was hoping to kind of continue on to that topic. And if you'll turn with me to Philippians 3:17, we'll read the rest of that passage together. Philippians 3:17 then reads, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." And so, this evening, what I want to look at from this passage is basically verse 20, that says about our citizenship is in heaven. And for that makes me think about 2 Corinthians, that calls us ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we look at what we've discussed this morning, the upward calling, I want to look at some practical ways in which we can have that upward calling. So if you'll bear with me as I slide back to where I want it to be. So this morning we started by looking at compasses and how a compass, when you're using it on a map, really needs to have that little set screw adjusted in order to adjust for what is basically the magnetic declination of the Earth. And we looked at how this set screw, as we're looking for direction, we can use this as an analogy of the Lord Jesus and how we all might be heading in a similar direction. We all might be heading towards an eternal end, but what exactly are we setting our sights on? Do we have that extra little thing? Are we zeroing in on who we will be, on the fact that we will be transformed into his likeness? Are we zeroing in on the fact that we are to do all things for his glory? And that's kind of where I want to start this evening. So, going in precisely the right direction. So what is our spiritual fine-tuning? This morning we looked at a few verses, and I want to go back over them again. And they were Colossians 3:23 that said, "Work as to the Lord." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 9:23 says, "Do all things for the sake of the gospel." And Colossians 3:17, "Do all in the name of Jesus." And really, that's kind of what I want to look at. I want to look at four examples that we can apply that those thoughts of doing all things for the sake of the gospel, and how the gospel really should permeate how we interact with this world as ambassadors. So, an outward witness. We are told that our citizenship is in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says we are ambassadors. So what are ways in which we can do all things for the sake of the gospel? And let's take a look at a few topics. So the first topic I wanted to look at was the topic of politics. It's kind of a deep topic, I guess, or a risky topic, I think, to discuss. And the topics that I will be discussing, just to kind of bring it forward, is politics, social media, moral issues, and social justice, and how those four issues, I think, are four hot topics currently in Christianity. And I think if we lose sight of the gospel, if we lose sight of exactly why we are doing things, sometimes we can let ourselves go off track. So I wrote a question here. Does God have a preferred party? Or our rights are not what matter, and the idea of social media. And again, we're going to have a discussion in a few minutes, and you can have that discussion. And really, it's the idea of what is worth fighting over, what is worth posting on our social media, and just the fact that I see so many believers that are posting various things in support of varying parties. I'm not even going to say which parties, in which you look and you say, really? Should we as believers be getting caught up in the defense of a specific party? And I know I'm walking on a bit of a fun territory. I mentioned this morning to Brian, and Brian was saying, you know, this is Ottawa, and Ottawa is a very political city. We like talking politics, and it's an interesting city for that, and not everyone likes talking politics. I think it's worth bringing up. You know, we see some people that will defend certain parties. And when the parties are, from a Christian perspective, extremely indefensible, or when the leaders are doing things that are extremely indefensible, and we really should not be having this is my side and this is their side. We shouldn't be having favorites in the race at all. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors from the Lord to this earth. So this is really not our fight. Yes, there are points in which politics will come into play. There are points in which there is something that a certain politician may stand for that is worth supporting that person. But I think that we need to be careful to say that, hey, this is the party that God stands behind. I think a fair bit of us are probably thinking about the U.S. system right now and how it is a very polarized system right now in which, you know, you've got, this is the evangelicals on one side and the rest of the non-evangelical community out on the other side. And I think that that is a detriment to the gospel. And when we link the gospel so tightly to our political views, when we link it to, we link it and we fight for and we celebrate victories of a certain party, and we post that in our social media, that is the impression that people get of believers. And we want to be careful what impression we are giving of believers, which leads me to my second point that I want to discuss this evening, and that is that of social media. And just, I'll go through the points a little bit slower on this one. So one is truth. And just the fact that I think we can see that, you know, we hear a lot the term fake news, which has been booming in the last few years. But I think there's a lot of fake anything online. And we are so quick to repost things. We see things and they shock us. We find it scandalous. I can't believe that such and such said this. I will repost this. And we often find that what we're reposting is not true. And so as believers, we have a duty to this world to represent truth. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." We have a responsibility for truth. Truth should be something that is guiding what we post in our social media. And I think that quite often, we won't check for the source. We won't check to see what's right. We'll just post things. And I think that we do ourselves a disservice, because if we are going to purport that we have the truth and that we are going to present the truth to a world in need of truth, then even if it's not on matters that pertain to the gospel, we still have the onus on us to be truthful in what we do online. And so I would say that we have that responsibility for truth. Other examples is posting news that is questionable or very biased. And we tend to find news sources and we'll post something and it has a photo. The photo is misleading, you know. And the other one that I want to get at is how we treat each other on social media. And I think, I don't know if the internet just takes away a certain how we would treat people in real life, but we tend to get online and just think that we can plow people over, tear them down. I had some notes and I lost them. But Matthew 18 talks about how we are to address each other. And when we have an issue with somebody, we go to them and we talk to them. And I don't see that in a lot of believers' discussions on the internet. I see people tearing each other down, being quick with quick retorts. And I think we need to be careful that how we respond to each other is not just a matter for face-to-face. We're moving more and more into a digital world. And the same principles of the scripture continue to apply on the internet. So, yeah. So, social media. That and just, yeah, the importance of posting, especially if we're going to post Christian things, then especially we are to be checking the accuracy. There was one a few months ago, and I got into a bit of a debate, I guess, because somebody had posted how Jesus provides living water, but he said, I guess the quote was, "I am living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world." And I said, "That sounds great in what you just wrote, but I don't see a verse that says I am the breath of life." And so, to have somebody claiming that Jesus said, "I am the breath of life," I went, "Wait a second! I read that." If anybody's read that, by the way, please correct me, because I got into a bit of a spat on the internet for that. So, the point is that we have an onus for truth in all things, especially when we're posting things that we're finding on Christian media sites. And we're saying, "Hey, that looks cool. That looks like that's a great meme," and we're going to repost that. Make sure that we're reposting things that we're checking out ourselves first. One of the comments in that photo, which was off of the other page, and it was some guy said, "This is great. I'm going to use this for my mini sermon." And I was like, "Yeesh. You might want to go and check your references before you're going to stand at the front and preach that." Not that Jesus is not the breath of life. Not that we do not get, and there's a lot of ways in which you could get that. But to say that Jesus said, "I am the breath of life," he said, "I am the bread of life," but not the breath of life. Like, the nuance is there, right? So, and again, if you're thinking of a verse and I missed it, please do correct me. but yeah, so the importance on social media. The third way in which I want to say to do all things for the sake of the gospel, the things that we want to be doing. And again, it has to do with moral or social issues. Here's a sign that went up in Chatham. You probably saw it on the news. It was not too far from Kitchener, and this was about 2 months ago. And it's been torn down since. But really, I guess my point that I want to get to is saying that as we are aiming ourselves for the gospel, as we are doing all things for the sake of the gospel, we need to be careful in our approach to doing so. And I would say that this approach probably isn't going to win anybody over. There might be some truth to it, but I don't see any Bible verses quoted. It's not even quoting scripture. It's just stuff out there that's, I think, meant to incite a certain reaction. And so I would say as Christians, and this kind of goes back to what Sean Abigail spoke about last week, where we need to kind of get off our moral high horse, and we cannot hold ourselves as separate from the world. And it's easy to go and pin certain things and say, these are the things that the world does wrong, because it's easy to point out what others do wrong without bringing ourselves into this picture, you know? And I can think of conversations that I've had with people in which they're like, oh, you believe the Bible? Then do you believe that homosexuality is wrong? And I'll say, yes, I believe it's wrong, but I also believe that sex before marriage is wrong. I believe that cheating on your spouse is wrong. I believe that pornography is wrong. I believe that there's a whole bunch of things that are wrong from that point of view. And when you bring yourself back into that equation, when you say, hey, look, you know, like, yes, there's homosexuality is wrong, but pornography is wrong as well. And you say, like, I'm not going to be judging you because I'm judging myself and trying to say, hey, this is, you know, we're all in this. We are all sinners. We have all fallen, and we all need the gospel. And to put the gospel separate from ourselves and kind of saying as if, look, all these people need to know is this, then we've created a case in which the gospel, we're not really reaching them with the gospel. We're hitting them over the head with morality. And so I think if we're going to focus on moral and social issues, we need to focus on where is Christ's love and what can we do to help with social issues. It's easy to say that abortion, God says no to abortion. But where are we going to be when it comes to helping those who are dealing with those problems? To offer a hand to a new mother. You know, it's easy to get to be up here and not be down here with those that need the help. And again, so I'd say if we're going to be saying that to do all things in light of the gospel, we need to have ourselves oriented in that way. And again, I added the words, your scripture is a weapon, but it's not meant to alienate, you know. We're not out to slay people with it and say, haha, you know, I totally destroyed you. Well, that's not going to get them to heaven. The last point that I want to discuss, and again, we can discuss these in the discussion group, is social justice. Some of you might be following this story. This is just about a month ago. John MacArthur and 6,000 other pastors who put out this quote that says, the most subtle and dangerous threat to the gospel is social justice. And that was met with a fair bit of reaction from other members of the Christian community, and as you can well imagine. And I'm not going to say that John MacArthur is wrong on this point, and I'll try to frame it and recontextualize it in a second. But we have obviously verses that say you shall love your neighbor as yourself, and if you see that someone's hungry, you give them food or you give them water. And again, I've put this compass right here in the middle because I think that the whole point here is that no matter what, we need to temper all of this with the gospel. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. And so there is definitely an element of social justice. And saying that social justice in itself is a problem, what it can seem like is that it can seem like a justification for us to do nothing. we can get to a point where we say the gospel is the important part, so I shouldn't have to worry about the hungry. I shouldn't have to worry about this. I should just be preaching the gospel. And it can seem as a justification that we could put up for ourselves that would say, hey, I don't need to do anything. I'm preaching the gospel. It can also seem a little bit on the privileged side that we're like, hey, we don't need it, so social justice, no big deal. I put up four thoughts on the idea of social justice. And the first is that the world, or our world, I'm not speaking about the people of the world, but our world requires full justice. There is full justice that is needed for this world. And we can't have just social justice. So there are a lot of people that will say, we need to focus on social justice. We need to be ushering in God's kingdom here on earth. And while I don't disagree with the fact that we should be pushing social justice, we can't just have social justice. God needs justice for the social wrongs just as much as he needs justice for each person's internal wrongs. And so we need to balance those points out. And again, it comes to the gospel. The gospel is what balances those two points out, because I'll jump ahead to my third point, that the gospel lived out is perhaps the most evident or only gospel that anyone will see. And again, we got to balance the gospel when we're doing this. If we're not going to live out the gospel, people aren't going to understand it. And so, but we can't likewise focus solely on the social justice without focusing on the fact that there's a need for justice overall, God's justice. Only through Christ can people demand social justice without twisting it to keep themselves safe from the demands on them. And what I mean by that is that social justice is a very nice way of moving forward and saying we can fix all of these problems, but the problems that are inside of me are not that big. I've got bigger problems to fix. And so it's only through Christ that we can actually focus on the social justice elements, because we already have the gospel that has changed us within. So fixing without cannot happen without a fixing within. And my fourth point is that people may not be ready to receive the spiritual until the physical need is met. And so we do have an obligation to meet the physical. I think about when Jesus fed all those multitudes. You know, he fed them, and then he preached. There was a physical need that was needed to be met. If these guys were all hungry and their stomachs were rumbling and they're all going to start wandering away, then him preaching to them wasn't going to be as effective. But once the physical need was met, then the spiritual need could be met as well. Anyway, those are just four kind of quick topics that I wanted to introduce, areas that I think the gospel can be used, or where we need to temper these topics in light of the gospel, like in all things. The gospel should be permeating our lives. I mentioned this morning a silly example about the gospel should permeate when we're driving even, you know? Like there is an element that the gospel should always be in the back of our minds, and that should be our focus, is what does this do for the gospel? What does this mean in light of what Jesus has done for me? There was a bracelet that we used to wear in high school that was WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, but how would Jesus deal with this situation that I find myself in? You know, and I don't think that we would see Jesus doing social justice to the exclusion of actually preaching for a redeemed and forgiven, didn't be forgiven of our sins. I don't think we'd see Jesus putting up a billboard like this. No, I think we'd see Jesus going and meeting with those people. He did. We wouldn't see Jesus posting whatever on the internet and just reposting. No, we would see all of his truths. Would he be using the social media? We would see his truths. We would see that each of his posts would be true, and he would be treating everybody in love. And I think that, likewise with the politics, that we would see a very tempered approach and not one in which he'd be favoring one side or another. So that's really where I was trying to go. It was meant more as a bit of a launching point for discussion in areas that I think that sets through. So this morning we kind of touched a bit on a broad spectrum, and I think as we look forward, as we look towards the gospel, we can see areas that permeate our lives that we need the gospel to touch. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray that really we would keep a focus on you, that we would keep a focus on the gospel, and that would be the influence that we would have, that we would consider ourselves to be sojourners in this world, that we would consider ourselves to be ambassadors of you, and we would not get caught up in the affairs of this world, but that we would be caught up in what you would have us do. We would be caught up in seeking others and in having your will done. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.